In Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to learn Brachos Daf Mem Zayin, and we're going to start on the last line of Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Ein Mechabdim, we do not accord honor, Loi Bedrochim, not whilst traveling along the ways, Veloi Begshorim, and not whilst crossing bridges, Veloi Biyodayim Mezuhamois, and not regarding Mai Mechreinim, which is about cleaning soiled and dirty hands. In all these cases, which we're soon going to discuss a little bit more in the Gemara, we do not tell the greatest person, the oldest person, the wisest person, you go first. Says the Gemara, Ravin v'Abaya havik ozli b'urcha. Rava and Abaya were traveling together along the road. Kodmei chamrei d'Ravin l'd'Abaya. The donkey of Ravin went ahead of the donkey of Abaya. V'lo omar li, and Ravin did not say to Abaya, Nazel mer, you Abaya, you go in front of me. Omar Abaya said, probably to himself, Midas solik haim rabbonon mimarova, from when these chachomim came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, gasle daite, they've become haughty people, they've stopped giving respect to those that deserve the respect. Kimota lepischa de beiknishta, when they arrived at the entrance of the Beis HaKnesses, Omar lei, then Ravin said to Abaya, Nei Elmar, my master, you go in first. Omar lei, Abaya said to Ravin, Vaad hashta lavmar ano, until now I was not a master, and you did not tell me to go ahead. Omar lei, so Ravin said to Abaya, Hochi omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein mechabdin elo bepesach shiesh ba mezuzah. You only give respect, you only accord honor when going through an entrance that has a mezuzah in it. The isbe mezuzah in, the lesbe mezuzah loy. Only a door that has a mezuzah, that's where you accord respect. But if there's no mezuzah, for example, if you're on the way, then there's no din, there's no halacha, there's no reason to give respect to somebody else. Elo me'ata asks the Gemara, beis ha'kneses or beis ha'medrash, the lesbe mezuzah. Are you suggesting that when going into a Beis HaMedrash or into a shul where there is no mezuzah, nowadays most shuls and Bati Medrash do have mezuzahs, but in the time of the Gemara many of them did not, are you also going to suggest that we do not accord any honor to people going into the shuls? Elo eima b'pesach aroy l'mezuzah. Then it doesn't mean, Rabbi Yochanan didn't say that you only accord honor to somebody going through a door with a mezuzah. It means going through a type of doorway that if it was not a shul or a base hamedrash, then it would have a mezuzah. But if you're going along the way or you're going through breaches in walls and things like that, then there's no doorway there bichlal, and we do not accord honor to the godel. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda Berei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. Ein hamasubin rishoin lechol klum ad sheyitoim habitzer. The one, as we've learned previously, it's often the balabayis who makes the hamoitzi for everybody and is the one giving out that first bread on which the hamoitzi was made to all the people who are going to receive the bread. So nobody, none of the people in the group eating that meal are allowed to taste any of their bread before the Beitzea, before the one that made the bracha, has tasted his bread. Yosef Rav Safra Uka'oma, Lit'oim Itma. Rav Safra was sitting there and he said, don't say in the name of Rav that the Masubin, the people gathering there, are not allowed to eat before the Beitzea eats. What you should say is they're not allowed to taste anything before the Beitzea has tasted. L'mayin nafkamin asks the Gemara, what's the difference if you say the word le'echol or if you say the word lit'oim? You're not allowed to eat, or you're not allowed to taste. So the Mefarshim ask that there is really a difference between eating and tasting regarding how much you're allowed to eat. But the Gemaras did not want to go down that road, and it seemed that the Gemara understood that there was no difference because the halacha is you're not allowed to eat from the piece of hamoitzi before the one that made the bracha on the hamoitzi eats his piece. Says the Gemara, the difference is shechayev adam loyma b'lshein rabbi. It's very important that you're articulate to use the same phrase and the same language that your rebbe used. If your rebbe said the word litoim, don't change it to lechel. Continues the Gemara, tonu rabbonon, shnayim mamtinin ze lezeh b'ko'ora. If you have two people eating together and they're both taking from the same bowl or platter in the middle of the table, and one of them stops eating for a moment to pour himself a drink, then show him respect, derech eretz, and don't continue eating from that bowl whilst he is pouring his drink. Wait for him, let him have his drink, and then you can both continue eating from that shared bowl. Shleisha ein mamtinin, but if there's three of them eating together, and one of them is stopping to take a drink, the other two do not have to stop eating from that middle bowl. Continues the Gemara. Habuitzea, the one that makes the hamoitzi for everybody else, hu poishet yodei tchila, he's the first one, and Rashi and Gittin explains that this is again going back on eating the hamoitzi. He is the first one to dip the hamoitzi bread into whatever he's going to dip into the lefes there, in order to make it comfortable for him to eat it, and he does so before anybody else eats. And the Mefarshim explain that this is just another form of saying the same halacha we saw in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, in the name of Rav, sorry, that Eina Masubin Roshoin Lechil Klum Achiyitim Habitzea. V'im bo lachle kovid l'rabbi, if however he wants to give kovid to a greater person sitting there to eat first, oy l'misha god l'menu, or somebody who's bigger than him, older than him, wiser than him, harushus b'yadoi, he's allowed to allow somebody else to eat first. Because this was not a halachic issue, that you're not allowed to eat before he eats, it's just derech eretz. If he's the one that made the bracha, and you're all relying on his bracha, be decent enough to wait until he starts eating. But if he wants to give honor and respect to somebody greater than him, that they can start eating first, it's okay. That's the Pashtus HaRashi learns. There are many other ways of explaining this Gemara, but we're going to keep it simple. Rabbi Bar Bar Chono have a osikle libre. Rabbi Bar Bar Chono was marrying off his son, Beir of Shmuel Bar of Katina, to the daughter, to the home of Rav Shmuel Bar of Katina. Kodim, Rabbi Bar Bar Chono, he came, he sat down, v'yosiv, v'komasni le libre. Since it was common for the chosen to cut the bread and distribute the bread, he was going to teach his son the halachas and the minhagim of being boitzer. You're going to say hamoitzi. Everybody's going to say amen. Do not start cutting the bread until everybody's finished saying amen. And the reason for this is, Rashi says, we saw in Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, that you don't start cutting the bread until you're finished making the bracha. We think the end of the bracha is when you say the words Hamoitzi Lechem in Haaretz. No, the end of the bracha is actually the Omein that the people hearing the bracha say. So all the while that they're saying Omein, it's as if you're in the middle of the bracha. Don't cut the bread yet. Rav Chisda Omar, Mipi Roiv Ha'inim, you don't need to wait till everybody's finished saying Omein. It's enough if you wait till the majority of people have finished saying Omein. Omele Rami Bar Choma, Maish No Ruba, why would you wait for the majority of people? Because all the while they're saying Amen, it's as if you haven't finished saying the bracha. Even if just the minority of people are still saying Amen, then that means you have not yet finished the bracha. Why should you not wait until the minority have also finished saying Amen? Omale, he answered him back, you're only supposed to say a quickish type of Amen. Don't spend too long. We'll soon see how long an Amen has to be. But dragging out the Amen too long is inappropriate. It actually could destroy the Amen. So he said that we assume that the advised and appropriate length is the length that most people would say Amen. Those few, the minority, that are taking too long over their Amen are probably saying Amen inappropriately, and therefore it's not an extension of the bracha, and therefore there's no reason to wait for them. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Ein oinin loy Amen chatufa, a person should not say a snatched up Amen. Saying a snatched Amen means that at the beginning of the Amen, you don't take the care to say Amen. You just say Amen. You don't give the comments to the Aleph. V'loi Amen k'tufa, and nor should one say a shortened Amen, Amen. No, what happened to the Nun at the end? Say Amen. And not an orphaned omen. When you say omen, you don't know about the bracha, you didn't hear the bracha, you don't know what bracha was said or is being said, you just heard everyone saying omen, so you say omen with them. That is called an orphaned omen. It's an omen without a parent, it doesn't have a bracha. Now Rashi obviously asks, what about the famous and well-known story in Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, that in the Beis HaMedrash, in the Shul of Alexandria, it was so big, people couldn't hear the Shliach Tzibur. So there was somebody next to the Shliach Tzibur with a flag, and every time he came to the end of the bracha, he would raise the flag, and everyone would say Amen. You didn't hear the bracha there. Why is it not an Amen Yosema? And Rashi explains, over there, everybody was expecting the bracha. Everybody knew exactly which bracha they were holding. It was just too far. They couldn't hear. The flag told them when the chazan came to the end of the bracha. Omin Yosoimo is when you didn't know there was a bracha, you still don't know which bracha it was, and you're just responding to everyone else's Omin. That's called an Omin Yosoimo. Well, a Yisraik bracha mipiv, you shouldn't throw the bracha out of your mouth. You should say it properly. Every word has a beginning, an end, and a middle. Say every syllable the way you're supposed to. Benazai Omer, Kol ha'oine omen yisoyim, if somebody says an orphaned omen, you bon of yisoyim, his children will be orphans, chas v'shalom. Chatufa, if you have a snatched omen, yechatfu yomov, then he could get punished that some of his days will be snatched away from him. Ktufa, if he says a shortened omen, yitzkatfu yomov, chas v'shalom, his days may get shortened. But somebody who spends an appropriate time saying Omen, he is deserving of longevity, of long days and years. And Tosfos says, obviously, when it says Hamarich Omen, it says Ubelvad shelo yarich yosem midai, because we saw a few lines earlier that if you say Omen too lengthy, then you've destroyed the Omen. Continues the Gemara. Rav Ushmul have a yosva besudosa. They were both sitting at a meal. Also, Rav Simi Bar Chia joined them at the end of their meal. Have a commissary v'ochil. He hurried to eat in order to catch them before they say Berachas HaMazon, and that way he can be mitzdarif, he can join them and create a zimun. Omar li Rav. Rav said to Rav Simi Bar Chia, "My dait cholit terufe ba'adon. Why are you rushing? Are you assuming that way you can join us and make a zimun? Anan achil nolon. We've already finished eating, and you're eating on your own. We're not going to make a zimun. It's not going to work. We're not a group, even if you eat before we finish bench, before we bench." Omale Shmuel. Shmuel responded to this discussion between Rav and Rav Simi Bar Chia, and he said, "Ilu maiseli ardilia, if you would bring me Shmuel mushrooms, v'goizle, or young pigeons la'abo, to you, Rav, that you are commonly called Abba, miloyachlinon, would we not eat them? Of course we would eat them. So it's not considered as if we've finished the meal. What's called finished a meal? So Taisa says that if you say Havlonu Navarich, which means Raboisai Navarich, if you've already said to yourselves, we are now benching, let's bench, at that point on, it's as if your meal is over, and if somebody else joins you, at that point he cannot create a zimun anymore. Continues the Gemara. Talmidei de Rav have a yosvi besudasa. The Talmidim of Rav were sitting at meal. All Rav Acha came up to join them. Omri, and they said, Osa gavra rabba de mevarichlon. Now we have a great person who's in our midst, and he's the one that can lead the zimun. Omer lohu. Rabbi Acha said to the Talmidei de Rav, "Mi savrisu de godel mevarich? Who said that the greatest in the group is the one that says Birchas HaMazon even if he comes at the end of the meal? Ikar shebesuda mevarich. The most primary guests, or the most primary part of the meal, are those that were there right from the beginning, and they are the ones who are supposed to lead the Birchas HaMazon. V'hilchasan, however the halacha is, godel mevarich, the greatest one in the group, he's the one that says the Birchas HaMazon, afal gavda asa lebesayif, even if he came at the end of the meal." Continues the Gemara, and we're now going back to explain the Mishnah. Ochal demai v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that if somebody ate demai, which is food produce which was bought from an amoret, or was it belonged to an Amoret, and we do not know if he took all the Trumas and Maestras appropriately, even though you can rely that most Amei Haoretz do take Trumas and Maestras, some don't, and the Chachomim said that therefore you should not eat it until you take Trumas and Maestras, just to be on the safe side. Ask the Gemara, how can you say that if you eat Demai, you can make a Zimun, holoi chozile, it's inappropriate, he's not allowed to eat it. And if you're not allowed to eat it, it's an avera to eat it, then making zimun is called Beitzea Berich Nietz Hashem, Rashi brings. It's an avera. And you can't say zimun like that. Rashi calls it, it's called Birchas Zimun Hababa Avera. Says the Gemara, Kiven de Iboye Mafkerulu Lenechose, if this person who's eating would now tell, would make all his possessions hefka, he would turn himself into a poor person. Vahava oni, he would then be a poor person, and then as a poor person, it would be mutter to eat demai, even if you do not take the Trumas and Maestras as a precaution. And since it's, he could theoretically make himself into a situation that it's mutter to eat this, therefore it's not such a big avera, and he's allowed to make zimun. Titnan, because we learnt in the Mishnah, Ma'chilin es ha'aniyim demai, you're allowed to feed the poor people with demai, even without taking Trumas and Maestras. And you're also allowed to feed the army of the king when they were going to war, coming back from war. They are considered like aniyim, and therefore they were allowed to eat demai. Va'omar Rav Huna, Tana beishamay oimrim ein machilin et aniyim esachsanya demai. The only ones that do not allow poor people to eat from demai is Beis Shammai, and since the halacha is never like Beis Shammai, almost never like Beis Shammai, therefore an only a poor person is allowed to eat demai, and since any person could theoretically turn himself into an oni, therefore if he ate demai, even if he's not an oni, he's allowed to say zimun. Continues the Gemara. If you have a Levi who he got his percentage of the Yisrael's produce, and he took the Truma Gedolah. A Levi gets Ma'aser Rishon, and he has to give 10% of the Ma'aser Rishon to the Kohen. And he did just that. And then the Levi ate from this Ma'aser Rishon, then he's allowed to do a Zimun. Asks the Gemara Pshita. Of course he can do Zimun. Why not? It's completely mutted for him to eat it. Loi, it's not so poshut. Tzricha, we need the Mishnah to tell us this. Why? Elo shikdimo b'shibolim, the Levi came before the Kohen, he preceded the Kohen. Normally the Kohen comes first and takes Truma Gedola. And then the Levi comes and takes Ma'aser Rishon. And from the Ma'aser Rishon, the Levi gives Trumas Ma'aser to the Kohen. And then everybody can eat. Over here, it was still Beshibolim. The grains were still in their ears. It was not yet thrashed. And therefore, and the Levi came at that point to take his Ma'aser Rishon. And at that point, there's no Chiyuv yet to take Truma Gedola. So he took his Ma'aser Rishon, he gave from his Ma'aser Rishon Trumas Ma'aser to the Kohen, but the original Truma Gedola he has not yet taken, has not been taken from this produce yet. So I may have thought that it's considered Tevel, and if you eat from it before taking off the Truma Gedola part, you're not allowed to make a Zimun. So what happened? V'hifrish v'meno Trumas Ma'aser v'lo hifrish v'meno Truma Gedola. Ukeder Rebavo. And he was following Rabbi Avohu's opinion. The Omer Rabbi Avohu Omer Shlokish, Ma'aser Rishon, Sheikdimu B'Shebolim. If a Levi came to take Ma'aser Rishon whilst the grains were still in their ears, and therefore the Balabais, the owner, was not yet required to take Truma Gedola. And now the Levi has produce in his hands which has not yet been taken Truma Gedola. The Levi actually does not have to take Truma Gedola, even if afterwards the Levi is going to thrash the produce and he's going to pile it up and it's going to be called a grain and everything. He's not mechuyev to take Truma Gedola. I may have thought he is chayev because at the end of the day the Kohen did not get his Truma Gedola from this 10% of the produce the Levi got. No, the halacha is a Levi does not have to take the Truma Gedola. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, in the parasha of Ma'aser Rishon, Varimoisem mimenu, you should separate from it, from the harvest, from the tvor, Trumas Hashem, Ma'aser mina Ma'aser. You Levi have to take a tenth of the 10% that you get. That's the Trumas Ma'aser. Maisa mina maisa maratiloch. You only have to take trumas maisa. V'loy truma gedoyla. But you, Levi, do not have to take truma gedoyla, even though the Balabais did not yet take truma gedoyla, because you, Levi, took your maisa rishoin before the stage that the Balabais was chayev to give the truma gedoyla. So let's read this again. Var moisem mimenu trumas Hashem maisa mina maisa. Maisa mina maisa maratilacho. I told you, you only have to take maisa mina maisa. Veloi truma gedoyla u trumas maisa mina maisa. A Levi doesn't have to take two trumois. One trumas maisa, which is 10% of his maisa rishain, and also the truma gedoyla, which the Balabais didn't take. He only has to take trumas maisa. Omale Rav Papa Abaya. Rav Papa asked Abaya, I hochi, if you have a pasuk that a Levi doesn't ever have to take truma gedoyla, only trumas maisa, afilu igdimoi bekri. What happens if the Balabais has already threshed the harvest and he's already piled it up, and now the Balabais is chayev to take truma gedoyla, and yet the Levi comes first to take his maisa rishon? Do we suggest then that he also does not have to take truma gedoyla, and he only has to take a trumas maisa? Omarle, no, olech omakro. Because of your question, we have another posuk. The posuk says, "Mikol maasroiseichem torimu." You have to take truma from all your maestros. You, Levi, you received maisa. You got maisa rishon. Take all the trumas from that. What do you mean, all the trumas? Yes, also trumas maisa and also truma gedoyla. So there seems to be a contradiction. In one pasuk it says you only take maisa min ha-maisa, which is trumas maisa. In another pasuk it seems to say you also have to take truma gedoyla. So the Gemara is obviously saying that if the Levi took the produce before it was threshed and piled, when it was still in its ears, at that point, if the Levi takes it, he does not have to take truma gedoyla. If you take it after it's already been piled up, then the Levi has to take truma gedoyla. Asks the Gemara, Umaro Isa, why do you assume that if the Levi took it when it was still in its ears, that's when he is potter from taking the truma gedoyla? If you took it after it was piled up, that's when he was chayev. Maybe the other way around. Maybe if the Levi came and took it when it was still in its ears, then the Levi has to take truma gedoyla. If, however, the Levi took his maaser rishon after the produce was already piled up, then he's potter from taking truma gedoyla. Says the Gemara, no. Hi. Idgon v'hailoi idgon. Only after it's been thrashed and piled up, it's called dogon. It's called grain. And in the psukim of truma gedoyla, we see that truma gedoyla only applies to grains. And therefore, it makes sense, it's logical to say that if you took the produce before it became a grain, then it never became a chuyav in truma gedoyla before you took it, and therefore it's potter now from truma gedoyla. But once the truma gedoyla has already been a chiyuv, it's already called a grain, it's already threshed and piled up, at that point, if the Levi takes the maaser rishon before giving the part to the kohen, the Levi has to give the appropriate part to the kohen. Continues the Gemara. Maaser sheni vehekdesh sheniftu. We saw that if people are eating, three people eat from maaser sheni that has been redeemed from its kedusha, then you can bench Zimun. And we're talking about eating the Maisa Sheni outside Yerushalayim, and even though Maisa Sheni may only be eaten in Yerushalayim, but you redeemed the Kedusha. And if you redeem the Kedusha, then the money that you use to redeem it, you can buy food and eat in Yerushalayim, and the original foods you can eat outside Yerushalayim. You've done nothing wrong. Why should you not be able to bench Zimun? Pshita! Says the Gemara, no, hochet mayaskinon, kegoin shenosan es hakeren v'loy nosan es hachoymesh. We know there's a halacha that when you redeem the fruits of maaser sheni, you have to add on a fifth. If it was worth 20 shekel, you have to redeem it on 25 shekel, the extra five being a fifth of the whole 25. And since he only redeemed it for its true value and did not add a chaymesh, I might have thought that it invalidates the redeeming, and it's as if it's still kodesh, and you're not allowed to eat it outside Yerushalayim. Even though you have to redeem it with the extra fifth, and even though the Rambam says that lekatchila you should not eat it until you've added the fifth, because if you're going to eat it, you may forget to add the fifth. Nonetheless, if you ate the food before adding the fifth, It's not ma'akev, it's called valid redemption, and it's not called macholis asurais, and you can bench zimun. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that Ashamash, the waiter, she'ochal kezayis, he ate a kezayis with another two people, he can join for zimun, says the Gemara Pshita. What's the chiddush? He's a kosher yid, he's joined them for eating, it's a regular zimun. Says the Gemara, no. I may have thought, Shamash loikavia, he's not an established member of the group. He's all the time walking around, he's not sitting with them whilst eating, and therefore you cannot make zimun, kumash malon the chiddush of the Mishnah. Since he belongs to the group, and he's part of the group, he can join them for zimun. He can create the zimun, he can be one of the three people. Continues the Gemara, v'hakuti mezamnin olov. A kuti, and this is Psukim in Nach, we find that there was a group of there was a stage where a group of people came from Kuti and they wanted to become Geirim, and there was a big discussion at the time if it was a sincere Geirus or it was an insincere conversion. It could be that they just sort of pretended to convert because they were afraid of the lions that were hurting the people at the time, and it was very unclear, are they Jews, are they not Jews, and if they are they keeping what they're supposed to be keeping? Because they kept the Torah Shebichtav, they didn't keep a lot of the other halachas. At some point they realized who they really were, they found Avodah Zarah with them, and they just turned them completely into Goyim. And Chachomim said, from this point on, they're called Goyim altogether. But now we're talking about the point where they were not yet considered Goyim by everybody. So it says, if you've got one of these Kutim in your group, he's allowed to be part of your Zimun. Asks the Gemara, am I? Why should an average Talmud Chochem, the Mishnah is talking to everybody, even Talmud Chachomim, how can a Talmud Chochem sit there as one of the three when a Kuti is one of the three? Lo yehi elo am oretz. He's not worse than any average am oretz who's not keeping all the halachas because he's ignorant. V'tani, we learnt in a brisa, ein mezamnin al am oretz. It's inappropriate for a Talmud Chochem to make a zimun together with an Amah Oretz. You shouldn't be sitting with Amah Oretz. Says the Gemara, Abaye Omar, Bekuti Chover. The Mishnah is talking about a Kuti that we happen to know is a learned Kuti, is a Talmud Chochem, and therefore it was okay to eat with him, and therefore he can join the Zimun. Rava Omar, Rava says, Afilu Teime Bekuti Amah Oretz. It could be the Mishnah is talking about a Kuti Amah Oretz, and you're allowed to be mitzarif him to Zimun. The Hocha, and this Braisa that says, Ein mezamnin al am ha'oretz, is, you know what it's talking about? Ba'am ha'oretz d'rabonon. It's talking only about the type of am ha'oretz, according to the Chachomim that argue with Rab Meir on the definition of an am ha'oretz. De pligi oleo de Rab Meir oskinon. De Tanya, where do we see this? We saw in a Braisa, Ezeo am ha'oretz. Who's considered an am ha'oretz? Kol she'einoi oichel chulov b'tayro divi Rab Meir. Rav Meir says that anybody who's not eating even his chulin in a tohir state, he's called an am ha'oretz. And Talmidei Chachomim, who are makpid that everything should be with purity, should stay away from them and from their food. The Chachomim say, you know who's an am ha'oretz? Kol she'einoi ma'asir pereisav karoi. Somebody who does not take trumas and maestras properly. And so even though a regular am ha'oretz does not take trumas and maestras, and therefore one should not eat with them, because he's going to serve you macholos asurais. V'hani kutoi, however, in the case of the kutoim, we know and assume that asurei ma'asrei kudachozi, they do take maisa the way they're supposed to. De b'may dechsiv bo'i raisa, mezair zehiri. They are very scrupulous to keep all the halachas that are written explicitly in the Torah. De omar mar, kol mitzvah she'echziku bo'kutim. Any mitzvah that the kutim are known to observe properly, harbe medaktikim bo yosem yisrael, they are meticulous to keep their details, sometimes even more than yisrael. And since a kuti, we know he takes maaser, therefore if he eats with you, you're allowed to eat with him and you can make a zimun. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Eizehu Amah Oretz. The Chachomim very often refer to Amei Haoretz. What is the definition of an am ha'oretz? So we just saw now in a brisa, a machlokes, Rav Meir and the Chachomim. We're now going to have another six opinions. What makes somebody into an am ha'oretz? Kol she'enoi koyre kriyas shema arvis v'shachris divir Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says that somebody who is so ignorant that he's not aware that he has to say shachris in the morning and in the evening, he's an amoretz. Rebbe Yeshua Omer, kol she'enoi maniach tefillin. Somebody who doesn't know that you have to put on tefillin every day, he's an amoretz. Ben Azai Omer, kol she'enoi tzitzis bebigdoi. He's wearing a four-cornered garment and he's not putting tzitzis on. Rebbe Nosson Omer, kol she'ein mezuzah al pischo, he does not have a mezuzah on his door. Reb Nosson bar Yosef Omer, kol she'yesh leibonim ve'einoi megadlam l'talmud Torah. If you have boys, you have children, and you're not educating them and bringing them up to become talmidei chachomim, then you must be an amoretz. Achirim Omerim, afilu koro, even if you read psukim of Tanakh, v'shono, and you studied Mishnayos. He did not serve Talmidei Chachomim. He didn't see how the Talmidei Chachomim understood the Mishnayos, the Svaros, the logic, what's the reasoning behind the Halachos. Hareza Amoretz is considered an Amoretz. Omer Avuna, Halacha Kachirim, the Halacha is like Achirim, that even somebody that was Korah Vashono, if he was Loi Shimish, he was not Meshamish Talmidei Chachomim, he did not serve Talmidei Chachomim and see how they are practicing the halacha and understanding the halacha, they are called an amhoretz. The Gemara is now relating a related incident. Rami bar Choma loy azmin a leader of Menashe bar Tachlifa. Rami bar Choma refused to do a zimun with Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa. The Toni Sifra, he had learned Sifra, v'Sifri v'Hilchasa, he had learned the Sfarim, but he assumed that he had not been Meshamesh Talmidei Chachomim, and therefore he's an Amoretz. You don't do Zimun with an Amoretz. Kinoch nafshei de Rami bar Choma. When Rami bar Choma passed away, Omar Rava claimed, Lo yinoch nafshei de Rami bar Choma, elo dole azmin arav Menashe bar Tachlifa. The reason that he passed away was because he did not give Reb Menashe bar Tachlifa due respect. He refused to do Zimun with him, and that's why he was deserving to die. Asks the Gemara of Otanyo, did we not see in the Braisa, Achirim Oimrim Afilu Korov Vashono Veloishimish Tamidei Chachomim, Hareze Amoretz? And if he's considered an Amoretz, we understand that he did not want to do Zimun with him. Says the Gemara, Shani Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa, De Mashmelu Hu L'Rabbonon. The truth is, Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa, he was Meshamish Tamidei Chachomim. V'Rami Bar Choma Hu De Loidok Abasrei. Rami Bar Chova didn't do enough research to find out that he had done Shimush Talmidei Chachomim. So it turned out that he refused to do Zimun with somebody who was a Talmud Chacham, and he deserved to be punished for that. Lishnachrina, others say, the Shomar Shmaitza Mipumayu Durabonon, he heard the teachings from the mouths of the Chachomim, Vigoris and Luhu, and he reviewed them, Katsurva Mirabonon Domi, even though he did not actually do Shimush Talmidei Chachomim, but somebody who hears halachas from the Chachomim and reviews them and constantly he knows the halachas, he is called a Tzurva Mirabonon, he's called a Talmud Chacham, not an Amoretz. And even though indeed, according to this Loshin, Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa did not do Shimush Talmidei Chachomim, but he was called a Tzurva Mirabonon, and there was no good reason not to do Zimun with him. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, Ochal Tevel Umay Sirisha in Sheloinot Lot Rumasoi, then you cannot do Zimun. Says the Gemara, Tevel? If you ate Tevel, which is food that has not yet been taken Trumas and Maestras, Pshita, of course you can't do Zimun. It's an Avera to eat it. Loi, it's not so posh. Tzricha, the Mishnah has to tell us a Chidush, but Tevel, Tovel, Midrabonon. We're talking about the Minatayra, there's no Chiyuv of Trumas and Maestras. Minatayra, you can eat it. Midrabonon, it's Tevel. And since it's only Tevel, Midrabonon, I may have thought that if you eat it, you can do Zimun. Komash Malon, that since the Rabbonon said it's also to eat it, you're not allowed to do Zimun. Hey Chadomi, what's the case of Tevel Midrabbonon? Ba'otzit she'enei nokuv, if you have a flower pot that does not have any holes in it, and therefore the plant is the produce, the fruits and vegetables, whatever's growing, is not getting its nourishment from the ground, pulling in the nourishment through the holes, therefore Minatera, it's not called attached to the ground, and it's not Tevel. The Chachomim, however, said you have to take the Trumas and Maestras. If you didn't, it's called an Issa Midrabonon to eat it, and you cannot do Zimun. Continues the Gemara. Maaser Rishon Chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that Maaser Rishon Sheloi Not Lo Trumosoi, a Levi who got Maaser Rishon and did not take Trumas Maisa and give it to the Kohen, and he eats it, he's not allowed to do zimun. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Of course he's not allowed to. It's Macholis Asurais. You're not allowed to eat Maisa Rishon if you haven't taken Trumas Maisa. Says the Gemara Loi, it's not so Poshut. Tzricha. The Mishnah has to tell it to us. Kegoyin Sheikdimoy Bekri. We're talking about that the Levi came to take his Maisa Rishon after the Tavua was already thrashed and made into a pile. It was already heaped up. Mao the tema I might have thought. Could Omar Le Rav Papa La Abaya, like Rav Papa said to Abaya, at the bottom of Daf Mem Zayin Omad Aleph, where Rav Papa said to Abaya, maybe the Posuk that says, Vari Moisem Mimenu Trumas Hashem Maisem in Amaisa, that maybe the Posuk is telling us that a Levi only ever has to take Trumas Maisa. He never has to take Truma Gedoyla, even if he took the Maisa Rishon after the owner had already made it into a pile. Komash Malon, the Mishnah is coming to tell us Kedoshonile, like the Gemara answered before, that we have a different pasuk that says that it's only true that a Levi does not need to take Truma Gedoyla if he took the Maisa Rishon before the owner piled, threshed and piled up the produce. But if the owner has already threshed and piled up the produce, then we have another pasuk, Mikol Maisa Yizeichem Torimu, you have to take the Truma Gedoyla, and if you didn't take Truma Gedoyla, even though you took it before the Kohen took his Truma Gedoyla, you have to take the Truma Gedoyla, and if you don't, it's Macholis Asurais, and you cannot do Zimun. Continues the Gemara, Maisa Sheini V'chulu. If a person ate Maisa Sheini outside Yerushalayim without redeeming it, it's also to eat that, and you cannot make Zimun. Asks the Gemara Pshita, of course you can't do Zimun, you're not allowed to eat it. Loi Tzricha. Sheniftu v'loy niftu, kil choson. We're talking about that he did redeem it, but he didn't redeem it properly. What the case is? Maisa sheni. In the case of maisa sheni, kegoyin shepodoy al gabe asimoin. He redeemed the maisa sheni on a silver coin, but the silver coin did not have an image minted into it. And v'rachmon oman, the Torah says v'tzarto hakesef biodecho, kesef shiyesh olav tzura. The Pasuk says, "V'tzar to akesef," the money, the coins that you're redeeming Maisa Sheini on, have to have a tzura, have to have an image on it. If there's no image on it, you should not be poida. And the Mishnah is telling us, if you were poida the Maisa Sheini, you redeemed it on such a coin, then it's still called Macholis Asurais, it's invalid, and you cannot do Zimun. Hektish. In what case is there redeeming Hekdesh that's not considered a good redemption, and therefore it's still called Macholis Asurais? Shechilule al gabi karka. If you redeemed it not on coins and not on movable items, you redeemed it on land, on property. V'lei podi bekesef, and you did not redeem it on money or on other movable items. Brachmona Omar, and the Pasuk says, V'nosan hakesef, v'komlo, you have to give the money, and then it becomes yours. But if you don't give the money because you're redeeming it on land, on something that doesn't move, then the pidyon, the redemption is invalid, and the food is still called hekdesh, and if you eat it, it's macholis asuris, and you cannot do zimun. Continues the Gemara. V'ashamash ochal pochois mikazayis. If the waiter ate less than a kazayis, he cannot become part of the zimun. Says the Gemara Pshita. Of course he can't, he didn't eat enough. Says the Gemara, you're right. Aida de tonu reisha, kazayis tonu sefer pochis mi kazayis. Since in the reisha it said that a shamash who ate a kazayis can become part of the zimun, so the Mishnah follows the theme of the reisha and says that so too a shamash that ate less than the kazayis, he cannot become part of the zimun. But there's no chiddush here. Continues the Gemara, v'hanochri ein mezamnin olov. One cannot do zimun, one cannot make a zimun with a goy. Says the Gemara Pshita, he's not mechuyev in Birchas HaMazon, why would you think that he can join a zimun? Hacha b'mayaskinon, we're talking about Begeir Shemol v'loy Toval. He's done the Bris Milah already, he's not yet immersed in a mikvah. Domer of Zeromer, b'yechanon, la'oylom eino ger atche yomul v'yitvil. I may have thought, since he's already done the Bris Milah, he's done it L'Shem Geirus, maybe he's enough of a Yid that he can make the Zimun. The Mishnah says no, if he has not yet done Tvila, he's a Goy, and he cannot join and make a Zimun. Continues the Gemara, Noshim v'avodim uktanim ein mezamnin aleim. You cannot add a slave or a woman or a minor to make a zimun. Omar Rabbi Yosi, it seems in Rashi that it's supposed to say Rabbi Asi, koton, an infant, hamutl ba'arisa, who's lying in a cradle, a little baby. Mezamnin olav, he can become part of a zimun. Asks the Gemara, what none? We learnt in the Mishnah, Noshim v'avodim uktanim ein mezamnin aleim. You cannot make a cotton become part of the zimun. Who the Omak Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Rabbi Asi, he held like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Omak Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, afal pisha omru cotton amutl barisa ein mezamnin olav. Even though a little baby in a cradle, of course, is a cotton and he cannot make a zimun. Aval oisin oisay sniff la'asara. We know there's a special level of benching, not with 3, but with 10. You say elokeinu, we're still going to learn the halachas later on. And in order to become an accessory, to become one of the 10, for that, a baby in a cradle is enough and he can become part of the 10. Vomer b'shua ben Levi. Tisha ve'eved, if you have 9 kosher Yisraelim, and one of them is a slave, mitzdarfim, he can become one of the ten, and you can bench elikenu. Meisvei, we're going to ask from a braisa, Meisvei Rabbi Eliezer, shenichnas lebeis haknesses, he came into a shul, v'lei motza asora, and there were no 10 people to make a minyan, and he wanted everybody, the tzibur, to be able to say kedusha. You can't say kedusha without a minyan. V'shichrer, Avdo, he freed his slave in order to have a minion. Vishlima ila asara, and he was the tainter, he was the one, the 10th one. So you see from here, shichrir in, only if you redeemed him. Loi shichrir, loi, in the event that you have a slave and you did not redeem him, he cannot become part of the minion. So how over here could you say, could Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say, tisha ve'eved mitzdarfim? Says the Gemara, Tzrichu. The truth is, there were only 8 Yisraelim. And Rabbi Eliezer came with 2 slaves. Shichrer Chad, he redeemed one of them. Now you have 9 kosher Yisraelim. V'nafik b'chad, and the 10th, the last one, he was the slave, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Ask the Gemara, V'heicha ovit hachi. How could he do that? How could he free his slave? V'omer of Yehuda, kol ha'mashachrer avdoi, anyone who frees their slave, Oivur ba'aseh is transgressed a mitzvah aseh of the Torah, she'nemar lo'oilom behem ta'avoidu. You should work them forever. And if you redeem your slave, if you free your slave, then you've done an aveira. How could he do that? Says the Gemara, l'dvar mitzvah shani. I didn't stam set him free. I set him free for the sake of a mitzvah. That's okay. Asks the Gemara, since when can you do mitzvahs by doing aveiras? Mitzvah bo ba'aveira hi. It's a mitzvah that comes through doing an aveira, and that's not allowed. It could even make the mitzvah invalid. Says the Gemara, mitzvah derabim shani, a communal mitzvah, a mitzvah that needs a tzibur, is such a strong mitzvah that in some cases it allows you to do something even though it's an aveira. Continues the Gemara. V'omer b'shua ben Levi, l'oilom yashkim odom lebeis haknesses, a person should wake early and come to the shul as quickly as possible, k'dei she'yizkeh v'yimnei masor rishonim, in order that he should be from the first 10 who are going to comprise that original nucleus of the minyan, she'afilu me'o boim acharov, even if 100 people are going to come to shul after him, k'beil olav schar kulam, he's going to get the reward of all of them. Asks the Gemara, Schar kulam sol kudaitach, can it be that all their reward is going to go to him? Elohim, no, say as follows, Noisnim lo schar k'neged kulam, they're going to get schar, the first 10 get schar that's equal to the schar that all the other 100 are going to get. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Huna, Tisha v'orin, if you have 9 Yisraelim, and you have an Orin lakodesh with a Sefer Torah in it, Mitzdarfim, the Orin is the tainter, it can be the 10th one. Omele Rav Nachman v'orin gavrahu? A cupboard, an orin, is a person to be mitzdarf to a group? El Omer Rav Huna, tisha nirin ka'asora mitzdarfin. If you have 9 that are in a position that it looks like there's a lot, we already saw on Daf Memhe Omud Beis, there's a concept like that, and the Bach there actually refers to our Gemara, that when the value of the minyan is that it looks like there's a lot of people. There's a whole group. So if you have 9 that are set up in a way that it looks like there's 10, then that's enough. You don't actually need the 10th one. And how do these nine have to be positioned that they should look like ten? Omri loki mekanfi. Some say they have to be gathered close together, and since they're all in a cluster, you can't tell if there's nine or ten. V'omri lo, and others say ki mevadri, when they're spread out. When they're very spread out, then you can't really count so easily. Are there nine here? Are there ten here? And therefore, it looks like ten, and they can be mitzdarif. Continues the Gemara. Omri Rabbi Ami, shnayim v'shabas mitzdarifim pilei ploim. To Yisraelim and Shabbos Kodesh, the Shabbos is joining the two for their Suda, and you can make a Zimun. Omele Rav Nachman, the Shabbos Gavrahu, is Shabbos a person? Shabbos can be mitzdarif to Zimun? Elo Omer Rav Ami, Shnei Talmidei Chachomim hamechadedim zeh zeh ba'alocha. You have two Talmidei Chachomim who are sharpening each other in Alocha. They're having halachic disputes, and they're becoming greater Torah scholars because of the way they're learning. Mitzdarifim, they can be mitzdarif and become as if it's three and do a zimun. Machvi Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda motioned and said, "Kagoin ano v'Rav Sheshes." It's like me and Rav Sheshes, and I am sharpening Rav Sheshes, and therefore the two of us can make a zimun. Machvi Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes motioned and said, "Kagoin ano v'Rav Chisda, like me and Rav Chisda, that I am sharpening Rav Chisda, and therefore we can, the two of us, can make a zimun, even though it's just two of us." And then the Farshim explain why Rav Chisda felt that he was sharpening Rav Sheshes, and why Rav Sheshes felt he was sharpening Rav Chisda. They had very different ways of limud, and each one thought that their derech halimud was influencing the other one positively. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Koton Peirech, a young child who started sprouting pubic hairs. Mezamnin Olav, he's mature enough, he's old enough, he can make a zimun. He can become one of the three. Tani Nami Hochi, so we saw in the Braisa, Koton Shehevish Dei Sairis, a child, a minor, who's not yet bar mitzvah, he's not yet 13 and a day, and he has two pubic hairs. Mezamnin Olav, he can become part of a zimun. V'sheloi Hevish Dei Sairis, if he did not grow two pubic hairs, Ein mezamnin olav, he cannot become part of the zimun. Ve'ein medaktikim b'kotten, we're not particular with the cotton to work it out exactly. Asks the Gemara, Hagufa kasha, I don't understand, you seem to be contradicting yourself. Omras, first you say, Hevish dei Cyrus in, only if he's got two pubic hairs, he can become part of Zimun. Loi hevi loi, if he hasn't got the two hairs, not. V'hodar tonya, and then you say, Ein medaktikim b'kotten, we're not particular with a minor, and he can just join Zimun? No. Lasuye mai. The truth is that he has to have two pubic hairs, and less than that, he's too young, he's too immature, he cannot be part of the Zimun. When it says Ein medaktikin, it means Ein mai lav lasuye koton peirech. A minor that has two pubic hairs, Ein medaktikin. We don't ask him, are you bar mitzvah yet, are you not? Even in the event that he's under the age of bar mitzvah, since he has these two hairs, he's old enough to be able to become part of the zimun. Says the Gemara, V'les hilchase kechol hanishmaitza. We saw now about a kotna mutl ba'arisa, and an eved, and the oroin, and the nine, and Shabbos, and talmidei chachomim, and the pubic hairs. We saw all these halachas. Says the Gemara, the halacha is not like any of these. Eloki hod om Rav Nachman, the halacha is like Rav Nachman. Koton hayudea lemi mevorchin, only a type of cotton who knows exactly who you're benching to, namely to Hashem, mezamnin olav, he can be part of the zimun. And there's a big machlokes in the Mefarshim here, whether this is on condition that he also has the two hairs, or if it's even if he's young enough that he does not have two hairs, as is going to be apparent in the story now. Abaye v'Rava, when they were very young children, havayosva kameda rabba, they were sitting in front of Rabba. Omalohu rabba, Rabba asked them, Limina varchin, who do we bench to? Who do we say blessings to? Omrile, they answered, L'rachmona to Hashem. V'rachmona heiche Yosef, Rabba asked them, where's Hashem dwelling? Rava achve l'shmei mitlola. Rava pointed to the roof, to the ceiling, and said, up there. Abaye nofek lebro. Abaye went outside the room. Achve klapi shmai, pointed to the sky. And he said, Hashem's up there. Omaluhu Rabba. Rabba responded, Tarvaichu rabbonon havaisu. Both of you are going to become Talmidei Chachomim. It seems here that having a clarity in Emunah helps a person ultimately become a Talmud Chacham. Hainu Domru Intri, that's what people say. Butzin Butzin, very small pumpkins. Mikatfei Yediyah, when they're very, very small, as soon as they've burst forth from their sap, you can already tell that when they're going to be big pumpkins, they're going to be good, healthy and strong pumpkins. And we're going to carry on from here, Mirtz Hashem, in the next shiur.